You're listening to Footy Roundup. I'm Rob Sergenik, as always joined by my co-host, Matt Tidcom. Matty, the Euro 2016 qualifying kicked off on Sunday. What caught your eye from the matches that we had thus far?
There were two things. I think there were some really comfortable results for some teams, though, England, Italy, Croatia, for example. But there were some upsets too. The Netherlands losing to Czech Republic. Portugal somehow losing at home to
Albania.
Yeah. I mean, there were some real up and down results, and then there were some funny results. It was kind of all over the place. It was quite the 3 days, actually.
Doesn't it seem like Portugal does this a lot? Like, I feel like we've had this discussion before, and I've seen this before, when they're just duffing games you don't expect that they're going to. I know they didn't have Cristiano Ronaldo, but right. I mean, the roster we were looking at, it was still pretty loaded, more than enough to take. They didn't take any points at home.
It's a beat Albania, though? Like, it's... Like, the Portugal lineup included, you know, the regulars you'd expect, outside of Ronaldo, as we mentioned, but like Pepe, Fabio Contral, Hal Mourinho, Eder, Viena, Nani, João Pereira, you know, Miguel Veloso came on off the bench. I mean, it was a pretty full Portuguese side, but to lose, you know, the rest of their group isn't great. I mean, that's the thing with this European qualifying. There's two really good teams.
It's a little bit watered down now.
Like, Denmark are in their group who are, you know, probably going to be a good team to maybe put some money on to get out of this and into the European Championships. But yeah, Portugal... Yeah, they can't afford to be, especially at home, to be dropping a game like this.
I mean, with or without Ronaldo, even a draw to me is unacceptable. Like, yeah, I can't even fathom that they actually lost this game.
I mean, maybe I'm naive by saying this, but I'm looking at the Albania roster, and I honestly just don't know anyone on that team. I mean, they're just not a big, powerful soccer nation. They're not anyone you expect that can cause these kind of upsets. But
I mean, I wouldn't even consider them a C-level team. Like,
no,
they're
below
that.
It's just, you know... It's a great result for them, though. I mean that's got to be... I'll be honest, I don't know my Albanian soccer history too well, but I'm going to guess that's probably a top three
one
result.
One of their best results, yeah.
Top three result all time for them. So
the Dutch going down as well. I mean, we don't want to read too much into it. It is an away fixture. I don't think either of us consider the Dutch in any, you know, danger of not qualifying for this tournament. But I think it's a little hiccup for them. You see that, you know, they can drop points, and I don't know if this team, Matty, is going to be as strong as what we saw in this past World Cup.
I think they'll still be, you know, I think they'll be one of the top five teams probably at the Euro Championships. They lost on a last minute goal. It was really weird. The defender tried to head the ball back to the goalie, and he ended up heading it off the post, and then Cillessen, who was in goal, has dived and missed the ball, and then the ball just basically rolled along the goal line, and
it was just kind of Pilar, a calamity of errors almost.
Basically just a bad header by the defender, and Pilar just ran in and just kicked it in off the line. I mean, Czech Republic is one of those teams.
They haven't been relevant in a long time since the Pavel Nedved, Milan Baroš days. It's been a while.
You're right. I find Czech Republic is one of those teams that you go there and you already automatically think to yourself, if we get a point, we've had a good day at the office. Mm-hmm. It's one of those places. I think some of these other countries, like Croatia, I think is one of those places. Switzerland is one of those places. You go there and say, we get a point, we've had a really good day. So, you know, like we said, this qualifying... Like, there's 24 teams going into the European Championships. So there's 9 groups. The top two automatically qualify. Then the best third-place team also automatically qualifies. And then the 8 other third-place teams all play each, like, a knockout thing. Like, so then the 4...
A third-place playoff.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, four of those 8 teams who finish third then also go into the tournament. So, I mean, you've really, really got to mess it up not to make it. We are not at all saying the Netherlands aren't going to make it, but... Like the Portugal result, it's not a good start to get your qualifying campaign off to anyway. But
what are your thoughts, actually, before we go forward, Matty, on more of these matches, on the, I call it the watered down format? I mean, I'm not going to pretend or, you know, make any reservations about how I feel about it. I don't like it. I think 16 teams, it was a real challenge and a real achievement to just make a tournament. Now
yeah,
it's like, just for example, you know, from my own perspective, looking at Croatia's group, they go into Italy and draw, you're basically safe.
Right, it's like...
Like, what do the other games matter?
It's like, we'll talk about England in a minute, but like, England winning 2-0 in Switzerland, Christian Jack tweeted that England have secured their qualification already.
Yeah, and
I saw
other tweets too, Matty, from English fans. to paraphrase, I know you had a good chuckle out of this, that it's not really true qualifying anymore if you can't fathom a way for England to not screw it up.
If England... We're not going to screw this up, or I can guarantee you on my life we're not screwing this up.
Or you're not watching soccer anymore.
Whatever it takes. England aren't going to mess this up. But I think I read there were 54 qualifying nations trying to get into 24 spots. Give or take on that 54, I will have to double clarify that. But, I mean, that's a lot of teams vying for 24 spots. I I kind of do like the fact they expanded it, but I think they maybe should have stuck at 20 rather than the 24.
It's another cash grab, though. It's just more
games. Of course
games,
it is, right? Yeah. That's no doubt what
it is. I mean,
the
casual fan's probably just going to be like, oh, I'll tune in the quarters.
We're still
going
to watch. I kind of like it because it gives some teams who may not, you know, have the opportunities to get there all often. You know, someone like Denmark, who really should be at these kind of tournaments, have failed in the last couple of times.
When's the last time we've even necessarily seen a Scotland or a Poland or Serbia's fallen off, too?
Yeah, none of these countries really get the chance these days because there's only 16 teams and then they're never good enough to qualify for a World Cup because of how many limited European spots there are. So I do like the fact it gives these teams an opportunity, but at the same time, the product is slightly watered down because you are going to get, you know, those 20, I guess those four teams who qualify despite finishing third and win their round match, they're going to be watered down opponents for the most part.
Yeah.
But
Croatia and England will get out of a group in this tournament.
Well, that's the other thing, though. You got to really finish in your top two so you get good seeding.
Yeah,
because those eight teams who come third will automatically be the bottom seeds. So you really want to finish first or second so you avoid...
Double powers.
I almost guarantee you one of those eight teams who qualifies out of third place will be some powerhouse country who should not be there.
Portugal?
Yeah, maybe. It'll be someone like, you know, someone of that level. Someone maybe, I was going to say the Czech Republic, they beat Holland today. But it'll be someone like Poland maybe, or someone of that caliber who's good enough to play there but had a poor qualifying and suddenly they find themselves having to qualify again. But I like it. I at the end of the day, it's more football for us, so I'm not going to argue with that.
So, Matt, let's run through a few of these results. What were your thoughts on the England match? I know you watched that.
Yeah, I did. I was really pleased. I'm smiling already. It was nice to watch a commanding England performance for once. Danny Welbeck had a brace. England never looked uncomfortable. You know, Switzerland away is their hardest game. I mean, the rest of their team, Rob, is Estonia, Slovenia, San Marino, and Lithuania. Like I said,
fairly manageable.
England are getting out of this group. So, no, but Danny Welbeck scored twice, the new Arsenal man, two really good finishes. You know, Wayne Rooney had a pretty good game as captain, kind of shrugging off some of the criticism. I thought Raheem Sterling had a great game. That Rooney-Welbeck-Raheem Sterling triangle was great.
Matty, so, I read somewhere that...
It was good, I enjoyed it.
I believe it was social media, I think on Twitter, that Wayne Rooney was saying that he thinks Welbeck at Arsenal is good for England. Did you catch the article? Or what do you think he means by that?
Well, I guess it's more of maybe an opportunity to, you know, be the number one guy. To me, at United, Welbeck is behind Van Persie, Rooney, now Falcao. You know, he's obviously got Di Maria and Mata also there. So it's probably not a bad, probably not a wrong statement. I'll be honest, he's probably correct by saying that.
I mean, stylistically, playing under Wenger might be good to offer some different variety in the way they attack, too.
It'll be interesting to see what he does when Giroud comes back from his injury, which is half the reason Arsenal brought him anyway. And it'll be also curious to see how he pairs up with Alexis Sanchez. But, you know, I think for England, it's going to do well. I mean, England had a young squad. You know, Johnny Stones was playing out there. Fabian Delph, who I never imagined would ever be an England player, got the start and played quite well. So, no complaints. 2-0 away win.
I think you might see more of this type of experimenting with this type of
especially
format. The games aren't as big now.
Well, the group they have, you know, I would imagine, especially against something like San Marino when England...
Oh, not even necessarily, Matty, just goals. England. I mean, like the bigger teams in general, I think might tinker a bit more because they have a little more freedom now.
Because there's
it.
So many teams, as we mentioned, there's going to be some... you hate to say this, but... easy games at the end of the day. So, good time to test some stuff out. Rob, I know for you, Croatia also had a 2-0 win today. So, just your quick thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I caught the vast majority of it. It's kind of a funny result. I mean, realistically, I think Croatia could have and arguably should have won the game 4-5-0. They hit a crossbar. They missed a couple sitters. And it was a 10-man Malta squad. And you don't want to read too much into a result against Malta. But at the end of the day, Matty, I mean, no one's happy. If you win 5-0, they say, oh, it's just a minnow. Who cares? You know, 2-0, oh, you didn't play well enough. You should have won 5-0. At the end of the day, max points are what counts here.
It's the only thing that matters.
Modric scored a beautiful goal from distance just in the first minute of the second half. And for me, the most optimistic thing, Matt, going forward is Croatia's, a couple of their youngsters were phenomenal again. Alan Halilovic has been unreal. He was awesome in the Estonia friendly. He was very attack-minded in this game, just taking on guys at pace. Another youngster, Andrei Kramaric from Rijeka, I think you're going to hear more about him in the future. He scored a beautiful goal today in his first competitive cap for Croatia. Rumor has it that he's already getting looked at by, you know, teams on the level of Fulham at the transfer window come January. So I'd be really shocked if you don't see him move along somewhere. So 2-0 at the end of the day. I mean, we're both happy. A win is a win, and you want to get things going in the right direction.
Yep.
And we'll see, I guess, where the next fixtures take those two nations. Some of the other results, Matt, that caught your eye. Anything else that stands out for me? Greece-Romania. What a ridiculous result for Greece. I mean, Romania was down to 10 men, and Greece dropped the game 1-0 at home. That can't be a good result for them.
Well, anytime you lose at home in European qualifying is never... never good. And Romania, do you remember when they were like in the World Cup
with Georgi Hagi in 94
and all these guys, like back in the day? So Romania is another one of those countries who will be that 22nd, 23rd team trying to seek qualifying.
They nearly did make the last tournament too.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, this is why I do kind of like the new format. The other thing that caught my eye, Rob, we mentioned Portugal's, you know, loss. Some other like surprising results were Ukraine losing home to Slovakia.
Yeah, you'd think those teams are fairly equal level, but you wouldn't want to pick up no points at home in a fixture like that. Even
exactly.
A draw keeps you going. How about Austria-Sweden?
Yeah, that's another one. Turkey lost to Iceland 3-0. Bosnia lost at home to Cyprus 2-1.
That's a
which
bad one for Bosnia. That's the type of game that you just
the Portugal game.
You just mentioned that type of game, Maddie. If they come in third and they can be a team that can do some damage because they're screwing around a little too much in qualifying, that's another one of those teams I think that you keep an eye on for something like that.
Well, exactly. And another game that really caught my eye was the Germany-Scotland game. You know, defending World Cup champions playing Scotland. You know, I mean,
they're missing a couple pieces, Germany, but Germany's loaded.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Marco Reus went down injured again. The guy can't stay healthy, and I hate it because he's one of my favorite players to watch. One thing that really made me laugh, Thomas Müller scored both goals for Germany, by the way, but the thing about the Scotland game is Anya scored the Scottish goal, and he went on Twitter after and started talking about how excited he was that he scored a goal past Manuel Neuer and referenced that he couldn't even do that on the FIFA video games. So... I don't know, that's always fun when that happens.
That's the beauty of social media.
Another shock I thought was going to
happen. Poland putting the touchdown on Gibraltar.
Oh, now, Gibraltar, this is their first ever competitive game. UEFA just recognized them as a full-fledged nation for soccer. So this is their first ever qualifying campaign, and they lost 7-0 home to Poland. Robert Lewandowski.
Did he kick the extra point?
So, yeah, exactly. Right? He scored 4 goals. But the thing that, every year there's always a minnow team who isn't made up of, you know, a team of professional footballers, shall we say. This is the lineup Gibraltar put out, and their team consisted of 2 pro players. One played for Preston North End in England, another guy played for a team in Israel. But some of the rest of their team included a shipping agent, a policeman, a fireman, a storeman, an admin clerk, a guy who works on customs. It was, not fully pro football, shall we say. But, I mean, good for Gibraltar. It's, you know, it's another nation in there, but you know, it's kind of like the San Marino Faroe Islands. They just
you almost feel bad, but I mean, it's still pride to play for your nation. And the odd time, you know, if you could nick a 0-0, Maddie, it means the world to these
people. Well, it's like when the Faroe Islands and San Marino even score a goal.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Faroe Islands were actually drawing 1-1 with Finland at halftime, and I texted my dad. I was like, "Are they actually gonna pull something out of this?" And well, they lost 3-1. But
Finland's a funny country. They can never seem to sort out their soccer situation.
I don't think they're gonna, I don't think they're quite good enough, but. You look at the Scandinavian, like Sweden are, you know, so good. And then, you know, someone like Finland can't quite sort it out.
Even Norway's competitive, too.
Yeah, like, Norway. You know. I mean, they lost to Italy today. Yeah. They didn't look very good against Italy, but Italy's Italy. They're so good.
Looking at the team sheet of Italy, Maddie, though, it's not, you know, the Italy that everyone's used to. Like, I didn't see a lot of those familiar faces. I mean, Buffon was still on the net, but...
Well, Buffon plays every week because he's just that good, right? I mean, the guy that really caught my attention today was a guy called Zaza.
Yeah, I saw his goal.
Plays for Sassuolo. He scored their first goal. And
a little bit lucky. I went in off the defender's knee.
I'll be honest, I didn't really know the guy at all. But I mean, it's someone I know now. You know, but, like, Italy had that Daniele De Rossi, one of my favorite players in the world. Ciro Immobile was out there, Florenzi, Astori, Buffon was in goal. Bonucci scored as well. So, I mean, they went without Pirlo because he was held out. But, you know, Italy, a little bit of a changed squad from the World Cup. But as the commentators were saying during the game, they kind of got to turn it around because of...
Yeah, they need to change
You know, like
up.
England, how bad their World Cup was. But, I don't know, I think it was a really enjoyable 3 days of qualifying. It's only a month now until they play again. And they're actually playing 2 games within, like, 3 or 4 days. So... Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. It's, you know, international football was always good. It's a good change of pace.
Yeah, we'll be touching on the next qualification cycle, Matt. It's in October, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it's literally a month away.
So we'll get to that when the time comes. Moving on to MLS. The
TFC, baby.
I don't even know what to say about this franchise anymore right
They've lost back-to-back games now, haven't they?
And remember our discussion? I said the spin that they were going to put on it. Vanny's going to come in and say, I'm getting to know the guys. Now it's the latest one, Matty, is it's time to get, quote, back to basics. I'd say when you haven't scored a goal in two games, it probably
That's usually a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, they still don't have the fullback, but and they need him because they are missing him badly. But, you know, Gilberto's kind of cooled off now. Odoro, I don't think he's been quite the guy the last couple of games. But, you know, they're sitting seventh now, so they're 3 points out of a playoff spot, which...
But do you really feel like they're going to turn around at this point, though? I mean, we just talked about it last week, but two more losses.
Like Michael Bradley's comments were, you know, if anyone thinks we're giving up, they are so wrong, which is nice to read, but...
Great, like, we would hope so.
We would hope so, yeah. Like, come on, tell us something.
I'm going to try every day, I swear.
Yeah, exactly.
Every day I'm on the show, Matty, I'm not mailing it in, man. I'm bringing the thunder, baby.
So hard. Like, we've said this last time, and we're not going to, you know, drive the nail in the head every week on this, but the team needs to make the playoffs this year because they, I mean, it's been 7 years and they still haven't done it. So they need to get it in. They play, who are they playing this week? They play Chicago on the road this week, which isn't an easy game because any road game in MLS always seems to be
anything
a
an easy game for TFC right now. I think people look at TFC and say that's an easy game now.
Well, that's half the, well, maybe aside from Montreal, but the thing with Chicago is they're below TFC in the standings. So, you know, I think, I'll be honest, I think if they can get a point in this game, they should be happy. But
they got to stop the bleeding and they need to score a goal. Look, once we start
in
there.
In a nutshell, essentially. Talking, Rob, of not scoring goals, Vancouver haven't scored in four games, which doesn't, as long as my math is correct, now bear with me because I'm a journalist and not a mathematician, but if you don't score, you usually don't tend to win games.
So no, that's usually an issue for them,
that's
too.
That's a problem. Yeah. But, you know, the thing with Vancouver is somehow, Rob, they're still sticking around. They were also, like TFC, out of the playoff spots technically, but they are one point and one place behind Portland.
If you had to bet right now, Matty, on one Canadian team making the playoffs, Vancouver. Toronto or Vancouver, I would bet Vancouver, too.
I hate to say it.
You look at the Western Conference and some of the teams, I would still say Vancouver.
Right. I mean,
we're basically going through the you know, the annual right that is any professional sports in Toronto, the late season collapse and just taking yourself right out of the playoff picture.
Essentially.
It seems to happen across the board in pro sports in this town.
The thing is, like, both conferences have two teams who are, like, really super good, like DC
Running
United,
away, yeah.
Sporting KC in the East, and, like, Seattle and LA in the West. By the way, LA play Montreal this week, so good luck, Montreal, because that's going to be a tough game when you're bottom of the league playing top three team in the league. Top
Probably
four
a good prop bet if you throw a little cash on
the
impact.
That's true. So, and LA have played really well. They hammered 6-0. I'm trying to remember who they beat 6-0 the weekend. The goalie got sent off after 30 seconds. I was watching this game. It was like 11
That's when you're playing
night.
Video games with your friend and you're mad because he beat you four
exactly,
times in a
right?
row.
It was, but the guy went around the goalie, and then the goalie literally grabbed the attacker's leg and pulled him. It was insane. Sent off after 30 seconds. They lost 6-0. That was bad. But LA looked good. So poor Montreal. But, you know, like, I guess going back to Vancouver and Toronto, Rob, you know, I guess the one thing you can ask and say is good is they are both in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, I mean, the late season
push.
You
can't argue, right?
It's so hard to not focus, Matt, as much as you don't want to, on the arrow trending downward for FC. Think about even where they were just 10 days ago.
Yeah, even a bit more than that. And, you know, they were, six, 7 points in the
playoffs. And we were talking about games in hand and all this stuff that seems like absolute nonsense right now.
Almost forget we even spoke about that because so much has happened and it's gone so backwards. And
how much of it has been positive? Very, very, very little.
Exactly, yeah. But... you know, if they can get something this weekend, it'll get them back on the right footing and maybe they can surge forward from there. I mean,
we'll
still got games
they need
left,
to just bring the hope back to the fan base again.
Well,
after
exactly,
how hot
right?
everything started and it's just putered off now.
Yeah. Moving on, I guess, Rob, to the Premier League. This is the other big league we tend to look at. Some good games this weekend. Obviously, no international football put every domestic league in the world on a break for them. Well, every top domestic league in the world. Bristol Rovers still played and lost, but that's another story. They got a win today, though, so I'm happy.
Well, you
got
to think the big one on the docket is Arsenal Man City.
Well, of course, yeah. Right? You know, two of the best teams in the world, in the league. I mean, every time any of the big 4/5/6 kind of get together, you always tune in. So,
what are you thinking for that game, early look?
Well, Arsenal are at home, I believe. So, you got to favor the home team, I guess. Man City, I would this is I if I was play, pl- like place a bet on this, I'd say a scoring draw.
Yeah, would be, I was going to say the exact same thing. I have something maybe like a 2-2 in the offing, and that, a pretty open game.
That looks more at the alleyway, yeah.
You think them being in Arsenal would be good enough for them to get the tie, and you mentioned earlier some of those sticky places to play, that would definitely qualify.
The one thing with Arsenal, though, the Emirates Stadium, is they seem to struggle at home a lot. They score so many late goals, and it's kind of got to that point where it's actually really annoying, and you kind of just expect them to score. But, you know, Man City, you know, they're probably one of the favorites of the league, along with obviously Chelsea. So, you know, it's
no Man U now. He's well, a little quiet on that one.
7 points back. He's got 35 games left yet. But as it stands right now, no, Man United are not in the title discussion. But you know, I would say scoring draw would be the way to look at this. Like, I think the other big game this weekend, Rob, is, believe it or not, Chelsea and Swansea. Why? Because they both have 9 points. They're the only two teams who have won every game this year.
That's valid.
I'm going to assume Chelsea. One team probably has 12 points and one still stays on 9 after this game.
But it's very interesting that even early in the season that this becomes one of the more marquee matchups. Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about Chelsea.
I would imagine Chelsea winning this game. The other big game in the Premier League this weekend is Liverpool and Villa. Liverpool have 6 points. They lost at Man City 3-1, if you remember, a few weeks back.
And potentially Villa, a sticky fixture for Liverpool.
Well, and Villa haven't lost this year.
Yeah.
They've looked really, really good. They've maybe been the team that's impressed me. Well, I guess Swansea with 9 points have looked pretty good. But Villa have played maybe a bit stiffer competition for my liking. So, you know, Villa have played three, got 7 points. They've won two and drawn one. So, yeah, you're right, though. It is a sticky game. Because Liverpool, a few of these games against like the Villas and the Southamptons and the Sunderlands and the Newcastles and the Evertons, these are the games that Liverpool dropped points at home last season,
yeah.
And it cost them the title last year.
Yeah, they duff a draw here or there where they shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Crystal Palace game when they had the 3-0 lead and blew it in 10 minutes was a solo thing on its own, but they had home games where they didn't get points, and that's part of it. So tomorrow's the kind of game Liverpool have to win. I mean, losing at Man City is nothing to be shameful about. Those results will happen, but these games, yeah, Villa are playing well, but if you want to be a legit title contender, you have to win this game.
It's early yet, Matty, but would you consider Man U almost in a must-win? I mean, if they have legit title aspirations against QPR here, they got to get
absolutely.
Something to
win. They need to. QPR look awful. They got hammered by Tottenham 4-0 in one game. I mean, they've looked terrible for the most part. But yeah, Man United do need to win this. I think I read that they've already confirmed that Di Maria, Falcao, and Daley Blind will be all in the starting lineup, their new free signings. So
the only thing you can maybe see them holding up is like trying to find some chemistry. But I mean, with that quality, like they need to win this game.
Yeah, they have to. A funny Falcao story I read the other day, that they started, Man United's online store started shipping out Falcao jerseys. They only went and spelled Falcao wrong. they put Flacco.
Are you kidding me? Joe Flacco's on that?
Yeah, almost, right? It was, how would you even make this mistake? It's mind-boggling. But anyway.
For like a top two revenue-generating soccer team.
In the world, right? Yeah. And they can't spell their new player's name right, but by and by, if you want to sum up how Man United are doing this year, that might be one way to look at it. So,
well, talking about top revenue teams, I guess is a nice little segue into the Spanish league, of course.
And there was a big game this weekend, Robbie. Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid derby. You know, obviously Atletico won the league last year, and they're looking all right this year too. So, I would imagine that Real would be favorites at home.
Yeah, I can't see how they wouldn't be. I mean, this is another one of those type of matchups where almost anything can happen in these rivalry games across all sporting lines. You know, any sport we're talking about, you see it interdivisional play, you know, in North America sports like people are more accustomed to in hockey and whatnot. I would say Real should be favored, but I wouldn't be stunned if Atletico took something.
You can't ignore the fact that the team who won the league last year is coming to your city.
Yeah.
Well, they still look good. It's the same city, obviously, yeah. But I mean, to your stadium, and they look good. You know, at the end of the day, let's all remember Madrid's last game. They were up 2-0 at Sociedad and lost 4-2.
Yeah, missing pieces, but I mean, you still concede 4.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Ronaldo didn't play for Portugal this week. I mean, his status, I'm sure, will be determined closer to the game. But and not like, you know, if you're without Ronaldo, you should still win a lot of your games. But Atletico is one of those games where you look and be like, all right, well, this is one of the big games of the year. I mean, you know, La Liga is now a free horse race.
Yeah.
People want to write off Atletico, which, you know, after losing Diego Costa and Felipe Luis and all these other guys, that's, you know, I can understand that, but they've brought in great players like Anton Griezmann's come in, and you know, I mean, they obviously don't have Thibaut Courtois, but Atletico are still contenders this year. I don't think you can put that past them.
What about the other super wealthy Spanish side, Athletic Bilbao? No, just kidding. Barcelona, who's playing Athletic Bilbao. Bilbao doesn't look too bad this year. I mean, it's still super early, but
well, 1-1, lost
gonna,
one.
Yeah, what are they going to do going into Barca? Probably not much.
I wouldn't bet on it too much. Yeah. It's the thing with Barcelona is that no matter who comes to town, they're automatically favored. Real Madrid comes to town and they're usually pretty much favored.
Yeah,
right,
it's Barcelona.
But Barcelona every year seems to have a couple of tricky games where they just somehow lose the plot entirely. And this may be kind of how you mentioned Villa coming to Liverpool. This could be a potential trap game. Out Bilbao are like that team who kind of holds in like 6th to 10th in the table. Every now and then they drop below that.
What was the term I used last week? I said Tottenham-y, I believe it was.
Yeah, making that into a word apparently. Yeah. That's going to be in the dictionary soon.
Tottenham-y.
Tottenham-y is the new word to describe a team who hovers between 4th and 8th place.
You're pretty good. You're not that bad, but you're not that good, but you're kind of good.
Yeah, exactly. Barcelona, you know, I would say Bilbao or they're Tottenham-y, but at like 75% of Tottenham-y.
Yeah.
We're making up words like, now. But.
I know it's time to just stop and talk about something else.
But no, point is Barcelona. I don't see them really. They shouldn't have any problems here.
Well, your favorite league, Matty, Serie A.
Serie A, favorite league with Premier League, of course. I was raised on the Premier League.
I don't know how hard we can analyze a table that has one game played.
No, it's impossible when you have what is that? 6 teams with 3 points, and I don't know about 8 with 4 with 1 point, and the other.
Are you saying you don't see Cesena in conversation to win the league?
Not right now. Roma are playing Empoli this weekend. Empoli, who were promoted last year and came up. So they're obviously one of the new teams in the league this year. So, Roma need to, kind of game they should win. I guess the big game of the weekend in Italy, Rob, is Juve playing Udinese.
Yeah,
both teams won their first game of the year, yep. Udinese has the never aging, never ever retiring, even though he says he retires at the end of last year and said he didn't in the end. Antonio Di Natale.
Wow.
The guy's a machine. It's insane how many goals he scored. I'm always shocked he's never played more for Italy in his career.
And he seemed to produce in big moments for them too. And they didn't turn to him as much and he'd become an afterthought and then he'd have to come on and save them.
I would go as far as to say that player, Di Natale, is there's maybe top 5 teams in the world whose player means more to them than Di Natale. Like, Di Natale is out of the Udinese lineup and it's like, okay. But Udinese in your lineup, you have a shot every week.
Yeah, puncher's
because
chance.
They're just a decent team. They're that team who finished they're making the Champions League qualifying 1 year or UEFA Cup or Europa League qualifying another year. And they kind of hang around that 4th to 6th to 7th place. When Milan stumbled last year, Udinese kind of do okay. And that's kind of who they are. They are, I guess to go back to it, they are Tottenham of Italy. That's kind of where they sit.
I was going
to
say it, but I'm letting Matt go there this time. I'm like, I can't say Tottenham-y again.
Well, we should probably maybe retire that if we can, but.
I feel like it's going to make a few appearances on a go-forward basis.
I don't think we can guarantee its disappearance forever. But that's kind of where Udinese are. So, on the road, if it was in Udinese, you could maybe argue Udinese might pick up a point or even beat Juve. I would probably favor Juve.
Oh, you got to.
You have to, I guess, because it's hard to not favor the defending
maybe
champions.
Maybe a 2-1.
Especially after one game. Yeah. But, other games, Napoli play Chievo. That should be a home win. Inter play Sassuolo, home win. Parma and Milan's an interesting game. Remember Parma years ago used to be really good, and now they're really quite meh. Milan, if they really want to get back to where they were, is a kind of game they need to win. And you have a big team in Italy, Lazio, are playing Cesena at home. So I would expect the big teams to pretty much all roll on with wins here. I mean, Lazio lost last week to Milan, but everyone else should keep rolling on here.
A quick look over, Matty. We don't have much time remaining here. The Bundesliga in the table here.
Bayer Leverkusen, they play Werder Bremen this week. Bayer Leverkusen, the only team with 6 points, they have 2 wins out of 2. And remember, they beat Dortmund their first game on the road 2-0, which is a fantastic result. Maybe there hasn't been much domestic football this year, obviously, in the season. But that might be, out of the top 4 or 5 leagues, that might be the best result of the season so far. Because I don't think anyone kind of expected it.
I feel like Leverkusen and Bremen should be a good matchup, actually.
Yeah, well, because Bremen, Bremen used to be, a pretty good team, kind of like Schalke 04, like a really good, solid team. You can't overlook them. Stuttgart are kind of in that category, too. So, and speaking of Stuttgart, they go to Bayern Munich this weekend. Bayern Munich shouldn't have any problems with that. And then Dortmund play Freiburg, similar thing. So, Bundesliga, I'd be really curious, Rob. I mean, we don't want to read too much. It's only been 2 games, but how well can Bayer Leverkusen keep this up? I'd be curious because if they can keep this up, suddenly Bundesliga gets a lot more interesting. Because you look at all the other leagues, La Liga is now a 3-horse race. Italy is kind of a 4-horse race, assuming like the Milans and Inters.
England's
and,
like 5, kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, pick up. And yeah. I mean, England is all over the place. You could go as far as to argue to 7
6,
teams.
7, yeah.
But I guess when you kind of narrow it down to who would really can win the league, it maybe drops down to 4 or 5. But you know, if Bayer Leverkusen can get keep going with, you know, a good start to the year, and suddenly Bundesliga gets more interesting.
Absolutely. So, Maddie, that's it. We're out of time yet again, my friend. Hopefully next time when we're on air, we'll be discussing a positive result for TFC.
Let's hope so. It'll be nice because, you know, TFC, you know, we've been to see them play. We watched them every week, and it'd be good to see them pushing along. And obviously, as well, Vancouver. Hopefully, they can keep plugging away and keep chasing the playoff spots, because both teams could really do with, you know, making the playoffs this year.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. Footy Roundup signing off.